Just when you thought it was safe, fooled ya. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Hello, and it's good to talk to you again. And I have to admit, I did not think I was safe. I thought maybe I was a little safer, but safer is not the same as safe.
You're absolutely right, Chuck.
If I'm on a battlefield and someone is shooting at me and I've got a sapling that I can stand behind, I feel a little safer behind the sapling than I would standing in the open, but I don't feel safe.
Well, and you should. And I think it's interesting, Chuck, because on Monday, we celebrated Constitution Day. And hopefully that's a day when people, not just some school kids in fourth grade classrooms, but many adults, and I would hope to say many judges, actually take a moment to read the Constitution. But obviously, one judge didn't bother to take advantage of the opportunity. And that judge that I'm talking about is Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Raymond Lohier. And the reason why I don't think he's read his Constitution lately, Chuck, is because of the decision that he brought down this week. A decision that earlier from the district court, we thought a good decision had been made. But obviously, Judge Lohier isn't of the same mind.
Well, it's interesting. I have to ask the question, why is Lohier issuing permanent injunctions against something that is very clearly unconstitutional? What is the big yank that we suddenly need these emergency rulings and permanent injunctions against implementing the Fourth and Fifth Amendment?
Yes. Well, let me spell this out. Basically, the district courts had a U.S. District Judge Catherine Forrest, is specifically who, had ruled, and we reported on this on an earlier program, ladies and gentlemen, so we're kind of rehashing some old ground, but U.S. District Court Judge Catherine Forrest had basically stricken the section 1021 of the
had struck,
yes, so you can see my hick country coming out in me. That's right. No, but had taken away the section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, and that section was the section that basically said, gave authority to the Obama administration, or to the president himself, to indefinitely detain people that he feels are working against the best interests of the United States. And before you go and think, well, yeah, that's just a protection against terrorism, there were no qualifiers put on it. So anybody the president felt was a potential quote-unquote threat, oh, like pro-lifers or you name it, Chuck. I mean, we could go on and on with a list of names.
Well, certain politician supporters, like maybe Ron Paul.
Well, too.
Members of groups like the Institute for Principled Policy, people who call for constitutional government and teach constitutional government and limits on federal power. The list goes on and on and on and on. And you can, if you're active in your church and your church is active in pro-life circles, you can probably put yourself on that list.
No doubt. So Section 1021 of the National Defense Authorization Act is bad business. It's bad news. And District Judge Catherine Forrest believed that to be the case, and so she issued a permanent injunction against that portion of the NDAA ever being enforced. Well, late in the night, now get this, Chuck, late in the night on, I believe, on Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe, I forget which day, but late, it was late in the night, U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals Judge for the Second Circuit, Raymond Lohier, stayed that injunction. Said, no, we're not going to let it be enjoined, thus giving back power to President Barack Obama to be able to indefinitely detain anybody they want to under the guise of the quote-unquote potential threat of being a material opponent of the United States. Honestly, I'm not even sure where to go to, Charles. This is just, I think the timing on this is incredibly suspicious.
Oh, well, so do I, Barry. And in fact, why is this an emergency injunction?
Yes. Well, actually, he's just staying the injunction that the U.S. District Court judge put on it a few months ago.
But Barry, if read further down the article, the federal government's plea to the Second Circuit Court said it was an emergency that needed to be resolved right away.
Well, that's scary. I do see that. Now, the article that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, was on WorldNet Daily on Wednesday, September 9th. So it must have been on Tuesday night this happened. called Obama Gets Detention Authority Back for Now. And it was an exclusive to WorldNet Daily, so we're going to give them credit. But basically, this whole situation is, it's a nightmare. Because, first of all, Congress had no business passing the provisions of the National Defense Authorization Act as they did, because they're not constitutionally grounded. In other words, they didn't have it. The constitutional authority is not there for detaining an American citizen in a military style detention for things that are not illegal, Chuck.
Well, Barry, let's talk about something for a minute. Unfortunately, we have reached our society right now where you can't tell the players. For instance, go to any town hall meeting and ask a Republican representative if they voted for the Patriot Act and the NDAA, and they will stand there, puff their chest up, glance longingly at the flag, and say, yes, they did their patriotic duty to pass that. The fact that it essentially completely violates the Fourth and Fifth, not to mention the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Openly, willfully, there is absolutely no doubt about it. It allows you to be detained, arrested in the middle of the night, have a black hood thrown over your head, put on a plane, and sent overseas, where they will also proudly tell you you can be waterboarded if they think you have some kind of important information that they might need. And so much for the Fourth and Fifth Amendment in that case. This is a sad state of affairs, Barry. And people that want to look at this and say that members of either party are being unpatriotic because they do this or that or another thing, I'll tell you what, anybody who voted for this thing and continues to support it is acting in the most un-American way possible. And unfortunately, it passed by wide margins. Both the Patriot Act renewal and the NDAA have passed by wide margins with Republican support. So don't think you get a pass because they're Republican. Right now, Republicans are among the worst on negating constitutional rights in order to quote-unquote protect us. Well, Barry, here is a worldview issue that we have to deal with. The fact is that free people are always at risk. The only truly safe people live in a totalitarian system. You're completely safe from assault. No one is going to bother you unless you think for yourself, unless you express a free thought. That is a dangerous thing, and that cannot be allowed, and therefore people who think freely, and I'm not talking about people who are obviously dangerous, who, you know, pornographers and that kind of thing. I'm talking about people who think in terms of freedom of speech, freedom to not incriminate yourself, freedom to live in a private situation and not be surveilled all the time. The fact is, those kind of people are considered dangerous by totalitarians. And both parties are playing the totalitarian game right now in the name of protecting us from terrorism. Now, if you think that sounds a little extreme, I'm sorry. These are the facts. Read the bills for yourself, and then read the United States Constitution. See if you can tell where the problem is. I mean, Barry, how long did it take us when we read Section 1021 to figure out that it was a complete violation of the Fourth and Fifth?
It took about all of maybe 3 seconds.
Yeah, it wasn't very long. I think I read about 2 lines and I said, uh-oh, we're in a really bad direction here.
Exactly. Well, Chuck, and they're going in that direction because, as Congressman Ron Paul put it in opposing the NDAA, that, quote, it's built on the theory that rights are suspended in a time of war, and the entire United States is a battlefield in the war on terror. And so, therefore, we can suspend basic constitutionally protected rights of American citizens on American soil because the president feels that it's necessary.
And that's the bottom line. We are turning dictatorial power over to a president to suspend rights, basically a power which does not exist in the United States Constitution. And in fact, Barry, the United States Constitution was written to make certain that the federal government would never have this power, because this is exactly what King George did to the colonists.
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact. So, ladies and gentlemen, if this sounds vaguely familiar, that's because it is. If you know your history, you understand that this is what the English monarch did when, basically, Chuck, they could take a English citizen from a British colony and grab them up for whatever reason they've trumped up, or no reason at all, slap them on a boat and ship them to England or wherever to be tried or to be held, and they had no recourse.
And in many cases, they were just sent out to a prison ship where they laid in the hold of the ship indefinitely until someone decided they could either go free or get a trial.
Or they died.
Or they died, and most of them died. The bottom line, most of them starved, dehydrated, or simply got disease and died. And Barry, it's very interesting. If this happened on the date that I think it did, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals issued this, what amounts to an emergency ruling, giving the president detention powers on the anniversary of the Constitution.
Yes, I think you might be right. So, in the 223rd, I believe.
235. 1787. It's 2012. It's 235.
Oh, okay. 235. Okay.
Yeah. We forget that it didn't take effect until 1789, but it got passed in September of 1787.
That's correct.
So, 235 years, and 235 years later, we are full circle, baby. We're right back. King George the First, King George II, and now King Barack.
So basically what we have to concern ourselves with, Charles, is that now that this emergency decision has been put forth by Judge Lowe here, the respondents have really very few options. They can either ask for this to be heard by a panel, because obviously this order just came from a single judge. Usually these cases are heard by at least a three-judge panel. So I'm wondering what had happened to that.
Okay.
So maybe they have that still as an option.
Here's what I think is happening. The emergency order is merely an injunction. That means it's probably an injunction in lieu of a hearing before at least a three-judge panel and maybe the entire circuit. Generally, those things are heard in front of a three-judge panel unless there's a specific move put in, and I can't remember what they call it.
Well, I do. Basically, one of the parties would have to ask for what's called an en banc hearing, which means the entire panel of that Second Circuit Court of Appeals would have to sit and hear the case. Usually, you hold that off until after you get a ruling from the panel of three judges that are usually assigned to most of these cases. So, basically, the respondents have a few options, but very few. And the question is then, can they appeal up to the Supreme Court to get this injunction put back on this case and overruling Judge Lowe here of the Circuit Court of Appeals? Because obviously, Chuck, of all the sections of the NDAA, and there are a number of them that are very problematic, Section 1021 happens to be the absolute worst because it has the most potential of being used in a tyrannical fashion to silence political opponents of the current administration.
Well, remember, too, that part of what goes on in the NDAA is the framework for the allowance of drone flyovers, and there are other steps involved that we're going to see next, and it'll probably get passed in secret, is the allowing of arming of drones so that they can be used on American soil for law enforcement, whatever law enforcement we'd use an armed drone for. So, as we've stated before, the NDAA is a mess. It really should be held completely unconstitutional. It gives the president all kinds of powers that he's not supposed to have constitutionally. It negates the Constitution all over the place. Barry, it's just a mess.
Well, and it's so much of a mess that some states have actually already started the process of trying to negate the law. The state of Virginia had passed a law. I believe it was Delegate Bob Marshall in Virginia passed their particular law that basically said that they were not going to enforce it and they would not cooperate with any detentions that were done on their state citizens by the federal government. So, in other words, it's not going to happen in our state.
Well, it looks like there's a list of states here. Arizona, Rhode Island, Maryland, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Washington are already talking about the possibility of negating those laws. We'll see if that happens. When we say negating, we mean nullification. Yes, we realize that's a bad word. And those of you who survived high school history, all you know is that nullification was bad. Well, no, it's not. Now, you know what, Barry? Unfortunately, we're out of time. We can either maybe we continue
maybe we really are out of time.
Unfortunately, that's beginning to be what it looks like. In any case, we're 1 minute to midnight with the clock ticking. With that being the case, join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.